This week's parsha is Parshas Chukas Balak. Outside of the land of Israel, in Israel it's just Parshas Balak. This Dvar Torah will be as a zechut for the memory of Miriam Bat David, my maternal grandmother, who passed away. Her yard site is this evening, Yud Beis Tammuz. So 29 years ago she passed away, and I was sitting and just thinking about her life, and I realized when I was looking at the Parsha, Parsha Chukas tells us that Miriam HaNaviah, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Moses, of Moshe and Aaron, and passes away in this week's Parsha. And I looked at it and I said, wow, this is unbelievable, because my grandmother's name was Miriam. It ends up that she passed away 2 days after Parshas Chukas as well. No coincidences. I thought that was pretty unbelievable. And the truth is that she was an extremely special person, person with tremendous sweetness, who had a life of some serious hardships, and was able to, within the context of those difficulties, was able to be a person who did so much good for others, that even till today, there are certain family members, extended family, who have a tremendous deep connection to her because of all the goodness that she did for so many people. And so may this teaching be a merit for her memory. And again, it's not a coincidence that that it's within the context of Parshas Chukas, where Miriam HaNaviah passes away. It says that Miriam passes away, and then there was no water for the Jewish people. And so the commentators teach us that we see from this that for the 40 years that the Jews were in the desert, that it was the merit of Miriam that they had this water. And the Sifsei Chachamim explains that why was the well in her merit, as opposed to Aaron and Moses? And the answer is because she was the one who stayed there at the Nile River watching over her brother to make sure that he would be okay. And because of that, that special care that she showed many, many years earlier was the merit for the well, the water that the Jewish people would have for the 40 years in the desert. So after this occurs, there's no water. The Jewish people complain. And Hashem tells Moshe to go and take the rock and to speak to the rock. But first he says, take your staff, which you had used previously to hit the rock. And this time your job is to speak to the rock. And in that way, the Jewish people will be able to see that, that they'll have, a display for them, that they'll be able to have a greater understanding or belief in Hashem. And what happens is, unfortunately, we see that Moshe hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And because of that, God tells Moshe and Aaron, because of the fact that you did not believe me, since you did not believe in me to be able to sanctify me in front of the eyes of the Jewish people, therefore you're not going to bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. So the strange thing is that we had earlier, not too long before this, the story of when Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara negatively about Moses. And in response to that, God said to them, you don't understand who Moshe is. Moshe is special. His prophecy is unique. I speak to him pal. I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth. So in that context there, God says, my servant Moses is different. Bechol besi nemanhu. In all of my house, he is He is believed. He is Naaman. He is reliable. He is welcome. Rashi says he is not, he's one who can just come whenever he wants. Meaning the idea is that Moshe had a level of prophecy where he was always on, so to speak. He was always connected. So he's called Bechol Beisi Naaman Hu. And here we see in all of my house, he is believed, but then Lo Hamantim Bi, it's saying that God says to Moses, to Moshe and Aaron, because Lo Hamantim Bi, you didn't believe me, or you weren't, you lacked a certain level of emuna, and that's why you're not going to be able to bring the Jewish people into the land. So which one is it? Here it says that he's not believed, but then we see that he is believed earlier. But the difference is that the point of differentiation would be that in the earlier time, it says, Beisi, my home. And then here, in this week's parasha, it says, Be, me. Meaning almost like God is saying that Moses was believed in his house, Beisi, but not directly with God. That there was something that was lacking, that Moshe didn't take that next step. Now again, to say these things about Moshe is so difficult because Moshe was the greatest that ever lived. He was the one who was the closest to God out of in our history. He's the one who brought us the Torah with clarity, the word of Hashem directly to us. So we're talking about someone on the highest level. So we're talking about someone, we have to always have things in context, that something even within the greatest level that Moshe had attained, there was something that was missing. Ya'an lo hemantem bi. That he lacked a certain emunah in Hashem, bi, that we see that he was always connected to God. He's bechol beisi naaman hu, he's in my house, Hashem says, he's always believed, he's always readily available, he's there, always connected. So this is like we're talking about subtlety upon subtlety. That here you have Moshe, who's on the highest level, and nevertheless there is some kind of missing thing. So what happens here? So there's endless amounts of explanation as to what went wrong, what did he do, Moshe got angry, but perhaps we can say, if we're focusing on this subtlety of Hamantem B as opposed to God's house is Beisi, that Moshe, and here what Hashem is asking him to do, is to speak to the rock, which is different than hitting the rock. In the way that Moshe hit the rock, he hit it not once, but twice, almost to say that he was trying to force an outcome. Whereas he was asked to speak to the rock, which is a totally different type of interaction. When we, to create an analogy, to see how we can maybe bring this down to our ourselves and how we experience life, when we want to try to make something happen, if we really want it to happen, we try to sometimes force it to happen. We'll push things, we'll make things happen. You know, when we want to make things happen quickly, we'll put more effort into it. We'll keep on repeating the same thing over and over again. That's trying to force things. And then there are times when we have to let go, or we have to take a step back, and we have to kind of say, okay, I'm going to speak to that person, and then let things progress in a more natural way. Perhaps that's what's happening here, that there was a progression here between. Think about the fact that Moshe took us out of the land of Egypt from a place of slavery where we were on such a low level. And as time went on, and there is development that is occurring for the Jewish people, now we're 40 years at the end of our time in the desert. This is a new generation. So there's a need for a change in how they experience things. God says it's no longer acceptable to hit the rock. You need to speak to the rock, Moses. This is a different type of interaction. It's taking things up a notch. And so it's no longer Beisi, it's no longer my house, it's B, it's to me, it's taking it to a much higher level. And so in a sense, you want to experience life as it's supposed to be experienced, You can't force this. This has to be something that's experiential. You have to kind of go with the flow. You have to speak to the rock this time. You can no longer hit it. And Moshe, as any person who's human, even here, he shows his humanity. He thought, no, it needs to be something that's more mechanical. And so he hits the rock, not once, but twice, because he's still in that mode where he wants to push things along. But that's not how it works. Ultimately, the highest level of to be able to connect to Hashem on that next level, it requires almost like throwing oneself in and saying, I'll speak to the rock. I can no longer force things. I have to let things happen and go with the way that Hashem is telling me. Even though, again, Hashem, we see with Moshe that he's constantly doing exactly what Hashem tells him. But this next level was a challenge. The takeaway for us is we have to understand that in life, we can't force things. We have to put in our effort. But Hashem created us to be in a world to do and to make things happen, but to always recognize that balance, that we can't force our will on things. There's the will of Hashem, and then we see in Pirkei Avot that it's we should make our will the will of Hashem. And so that's exactly here. We need to take away from this story to be able to understand that we should embrace life and we should look for Hashem's will. We see it from the Torah. Hashem teaches us through his Torah. We could see what he wants us to do, but also just as we experience life and we go out and we do, to always look for Hashem's hand in things and then to go with the flow and to experience and understand. We don't necessarily know where it's going, but we have a faith, we have an emunah that Hashem is guiding us in the way that we're supposed to go. And so we put in our effort and then we kind of sit back and we say, okay, let me see where Hashem is guiding me. Where is this taking me? We can look back at many events in our lives and we understand in retrospect many times that what was happening, what Hashem did, which was for our best. And so we have to kind of have this balance. It's always tricky. Life is not simple. This balance is not simple, but we have to have that emunah. Not just, and I guess the idea is we have to strive to be a neman in Hashem's house and then to be neman with Hashem in that most intimate way, to connect to Hashem in the most intimate way, to have that faith that whatever he's doing, whatever's happening is ultimately coming from Hashem, and Kol David Rachmana L'Tav Aved, everything he does is for our best. And with that, if we're able to connect to that, we will experience life to its fullest, and then we'll be able to see tremendous blessing. Have a wonderful Shabbos.